How about this passage of scripture that Sarah read for us a little earlier? It was Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Probably very familiar to you and to many believers, inasmuch as Paul is trying to say, in effect, to folks, hey, don't go out there unarmed, okay? In the kind of world in which you live, and the kind of critics that are attacking the Lord Jesus Christ, you better go out there with some defensive things and some offensive weapons in your repertoire here. You ought to have the shield of faith. You ought to have the chest plate of righteousness. You ought to have the sword of truth and all these other things that he says we are to arm ourselves with. Because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you better be ready for a fight. And each time and age within the Christian eras, there's been different fights and different battles. And we have to face our own today. Let's get to one of those. As I was reading through some Christian journals and professional writings, my eye caught one of the writings of Will Willimon, one of my favorite authors. And he was asking in it the question, is religion bad for you? And my mind kind of caught on that, you know. That's interesting. Interesting question. Is religion bad for you? And as I read what Willimon wrote, he was posing this question based on his recent readings of a man named Richard Dawkins. Now, Mr. Dawkins is a scientist, but he's also an atheist who teaches at Oxford University. Now, just because you're a scientist doesn't make you an atheist. There are an awful lot of scientists who are people of faith and great Christian folks. But this particular scientist happens to be an atheist. And he wrote a book called The God Delusion. The God Delusion. In one section of this stridently anti-Christian, anti-religion book, he takes up the question, is religion bad for you? And as you might guess, in short, Mr. Dawkins says, yes, religion is very, very bad for you, a sort of sick delusion that hurts a lot of people. I don't know if you get upset when somebody criticizes the Christian faith or puts down our faith, but I don't. I don't think our faith is threatened when we even listen to our critics. But on the other hand, I'm like the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians 6, and he says, hey, when it's time to speak up, when it's time to defend the faith, when it's time to, address things that are false and inaccurate, he says, I hope I have the courage to speak up. And we as Christians should have that kind of courage too, to speak up and to offer a defense to the question, is religion harmful? Well, on the one hand, you could say, yes, it is. If by religion you mean simply the man-made or the human-composed sort of systems or regulations or paraphernalia that we can come up with as human beings, you know, a lot of rules and regulations and rituals and rites, you know, if it's merely this human stuff that we come up with, and say, that's my religion, it can be bad. If your faith system is more important to you than God, well, then you and I have an idol, you see. And that's a very dangerous thing to have. And we make more about our religious system than we do about the righteous one who came to save us and be in relationship with us. And there can be a huge difference between the two. We can get all hung up on the processes of religion and forget the real purpose. And that's not good. Not good. Paul warned Timothy about this in the second letter that he wrote to Timothy. Look, you're probably familiar with this. He talked about people who were bad and evil and did all sorts of things. And he finished by saying they're treacherous. Treacherous. They are rash. They're conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then get this, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. I really think that Paul was describing religious people who have great religion, but their lives are bad, and they don't act the way the Lord Jesus Christ acts. And so he had his warning against religious people. If you read the Gospels and you get to know Jesus in the Gospels, you'd ask the question, was Jesus religious? If somebody asked you, was Jesus religious? In a sense, you'd have to say, no, he was not religious at all. Time and again, the Jewish authorities, the religious authorities, were throwing these rules and regulations in his face and saying, you're not keeping the rules. And time and again, Jesus throws up his hands and says, I don't care. I don't care about rules. I don't care about your religious regulations. I care about God and making him happy. And here's how you do that in this situation. Don't you get that from Jesus? Man, go read your Gospels, and you'll find out that that's exactly what he does. He often has scorching criticism of religion, and he doesn't have any time for it. Not the religion practiced in his day, and probably not a whole lot of religion practiced in the world even today. Paul says, if you've got religion and you act evil, you have nothing. In the matter of form versus substance, substance wins out every time. There was an interviewer doing a TV interview with this young lady movie star, and he asked her the question, are you a religious person? And she answered, well, I'm very spiritual, but I rejected religion when I went to college. I had my eyes open to all the ways that religion fosters violence, war, and prejudice. I think that one of the worst forces in the world today is religion. Well, I'm sure you've heard similar opinions somewhere along the way, probably in more depth than this bubblehead came up with on a TV interview. And you know, it's funny. Usually the person who's making that kind of statement thinks that they're cutting some new ground. They've come up with something really radical, something really new and cutting edge. But there's nothing new about it. This is an old, old accusation. And as a matter of fact, it's a bunch of crock. It is just not true. The fact is, a lot of intellectuals have been bashing God for a long, long time. You know, over 200 years ago, an intellectual named Voltaire announced that he had no need of the God hypothesis, as he called it. And Nietzsche accused Christianity of fostering a slave morality. And Karl Marx, what did he call religion? He called it the opiate of the people. He called it something that capitalists use just to keep people down and keep the workers happy and mollified and part of the great capitalistic evil system. That's what Karl Marx said religion was. And then there's this assumption that religious wars have killed so many people and harmed so many people throughout human history. Well, I read a very carefully researched work that analyzed and estimated that of all the supposedly religious wars that took place, and maybe the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition, perhaps throughout the course of all of human history, maybe tens of thousands of people might have been killed in those kind of religious wars, truly religious wars. Only maybe a couple of 10,000 or so. Now compare that, this author said, to just the 20th century, when the forces of Nazi Germany? Is that religious? Not at all. Stalinist Russia? Absolutely atheistic. Communist China? Atheism, again. Killed how many people? Stalin killed 20 million. Mao killed many, many millions of people, of his own people. Nazi Germany, we know, just killed 11 million people within itself. Jews, gypsies, ethnic people, a whole lot more. So you've got hundreds of millions of people killed by atheism compared to a couple of 10,000 supposedly killed by religion. Now you may say, well, what about the Muslim religious fanatics that are killing people today? True, that's evil. But is it true Islam? Can you even tag religion on a lot of the killing that's done even in the name of Islam? Well, you know that the majority of the billion of Muslim people in the world today would say, heavens no, that's not Islam. That's not faith. That's not true faith. It would be like them saying to us, holding up the KKK from the 1920s, and then saying, why are Christians so mean? Why do Christians kill? And we say, oh, wait a minute, the KKK, that's not Christian. And they'd say, exactly. The Islamic terrorists are not Islam. That's not true Islam. So that's a distortion. They're really political movements, is what they are. Most of the atheist intellectuals thought that humanity is going to eventually outgrow this need for God, you know? As if it's some kind of sick crutch that they need for a while. But the brave new world is not going to need God. Nobody's going to be religious. Are you aware that in the past few years, a bunch of books like the God Delusion have come out by atheists who are making their case and saying there is no God? For instance, this Richard Dawkins we're talking about here, he predict that atheism represents the sensible summit of the human race coming to its senses and coming to the right conclusion. What he says is that the human race began with polytheism, you know, the belief in many gods. But then as things progressed, they kind of pulled it together and said, oh no, there are not many gods, there's only just one God, from polytheism to monotheism. So that's progress, okay? That's where Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is, monotheism. But then, as you can see where he's going to take it, he says, now, the real logical conclusion is not that there's one God, but that there is no God. No God. Just this wonderful human progress from one step to the other. As Dawkins playfully remarks, it just involves believing in one less God than you did before. The trouble is that he's misread history. I mean, we don't have the progressiveness that he's talking about here. We have the diversification of religion, that's for sure, but there isn't this kind of progress that he's talking about. As a matter of fact, if we look around today, we find that people are not less inclined to believe things and to have faith, but actually they are more inclined to do so. And Dawkins himself has plenty of faith. Now, he may not believe in the God of the Israelites, or he may not believe in the God of the Christian church, but he believes in his gods. He believes in his own reason. He believes in his education, his limited academic culture of England. He believes in stuff like macrobiotic diets. He believes in the wonderful benefits of oat bran. He believes in the joys of sex. He believes in the allure of material possessions and owning things. And he will defend his faith with intensity. But the man has faith, just in the wrong things, and a whole lot of little gods. You see, when the modern day atheists come along and they reject this God of everything, then they tend to deify other stuff, such as ideals, even some good ones like liberty and equality, but they become the big gods. Or else it's the Democratic Party, or it's the Republican Party, or it's corporate America, or it's Gold's Gym, or Walmart, or something like that. Somebody, some other God comes along to take its place. Did you know that Dawkins even goes so far as to say that Jesus was the kind of guy who took a group mentality that basically said, I'm in the in-group, sorry if you're not in the in-group, too bad for you. Doesn't that strike you as funny? Just plain funny. I don't know what Jesus he's talking about. He's not talking about the Jesus that we have here in the Bible. Very definitely not. Because when we read about this Jesus, he's very explicit. And not only saying, hey, love your neighbor, but who else did he say to love? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Whoa, does that sound like somebody who's got a little tight group of the ins and a big group of the outs? No, he just busted that wide open, didn't he? Don't just love your neighbors, love your enemies. Dawkins is wrong about Jesus. The story of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, absolutely scandalous, absolutely terrible. He took this business about love your neighbor and extended it far beyond Judaism. The group of the religious group were the Jews. And Jesus said, no, it's a lot bigger than that. It includes this Samaritan as well. Did you know that they even accused Jesus of being a Samaritan, which was a tremendous insult in that day and time? Because he said outrageous stuff like this. Who else did Jesus include in his group? Such real insiders as sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes. My goodness, these are all the people that the religious folks had cut out and said, you're not in. And Jesus said, oh, you are. Yeah, you are. Come on. Whosoever will, come on to me. And then Jesus has the gall to say, okay, my followers, you do the same thing. You make your group as big. You open up. You include everybody. You reach out to the everybody you possibly can. That's Jesus. You know, asking the question, is religion bad for you? There's another sense in which it is. If you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ and you are really doing the stuff that he wants you to do, that's dangerous. Really, really dangerous. His kind of religion is bad for you. It'll get you killed. Got him killed, didn't it? And it got other people killed. Ask Stephen. He's in the book of Acts. Ask him about following Jesus. Is your religion bad for you? Yeah, well, I got stoned to death. Ask Paul if religion is bad for you. He said, well, yeah, I got shipwrecked and I got stoned. It didn't kill me and I got whipped. And I got run out of town. I don't know how many times. I can't even keep track. And Peter, we think, got beheaded. I mean, he got crucified upside down in Rome in the 60s A.D. Oh, man, it is rough to be a follower of Jesus Christ. His religion is bad for you. The world will reject you. The world will turn you out and turn against you. And yet, God's people, at their best, are not cutting people down, are not cutting people out, but doing good. One last thing I'd ask you. Who builds hospitals? Atheists? No, Christians do. People of faith do. Who makes all the charitable organizations and all the help groups, the whole long list, the countless list of helping agencies, even just within the United States today? Who came up with all those? Christians. People of faith. Who volunteers countless hours of time and money to assist the hurting, the homeless, the down and out? It's not atheists. It's Christians. So, you know, in short today, folks, it's not your job or mine today to be religious or to be more religious. That's really not the task. But our job is to be more like Jesus. Now, is that bad for you? Oh, no. That's good. That's good. That's very good. I would just say to you, good luck with keeping up with Jesus. He's way out ahead of you. But, you know, you and I got to try. Really try. Religion might be bad for you, but Jesus, he's everything good.